You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za. Oh, Frankie Blue Eyes there, and Love and Marriage. It was a choice between that and Billy Connolly's Divorce. I chose Love and Marriage. And with that, we introduce yet again.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Ernest Kahn, welcome back to Zone Radio on the Best of Life, Love and Fruit Salad. I'm delighted to see you. I cannot contain my excitement and happiness.
Well, you smoke. Yeah. Okay. This is quite exciting. I mean, yes. You know, if you meant it, it would be even more exciting, but I do mean it.
This is my sincere voice.
Yes. I can hear it. Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Nice to see you.
Yes. Hello. Lovely to see you
lovely
too.
Lovely to see you as well. You're looking very handsome today, I must say.
Oh, really? I wish that was a sincere voice.
Not really.
No.
No.
Okay.
Okay, we're talking about stuff today. I'm very excited.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you should know.
I should, and that's why it's very important that we have this discussion today. I don't know. To the people out there, if you're married, too late. Okay, that's it. Done. Finished. You're done. You're over. You're over. But if you're not married yet and you're about to get married, well, you better turn up the volume, as it says at Zone Radio. Turn up the volume. And if you're about to get married again, turn up the volume, okay? But then you could be part of this conversation as well, because you'll know what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So it's really about the questions you should ask before you get married. And the word there is before. Okay, you can ask these things afterwards, but it's pretty dangerous.
Then we play Divorce. By Billy Connolly.
Then you're already in jail. You've got to ask the questions. But no, I'm joking. Marriage is a wonderful thing. And we're kidding. But let's get ready for it. Because, you know, I was on a TV program once, and we had a pastor on the program. And he was saying that, you know, he does a lot of counseling, marriage counseling, before people get married in the church and all that kind of stuff. And one thing he did say, though, it was really, really cool. He said people spend a lot of time planning the wedding day.
Yes.
And no time talking about the rest of the marriage life. Okay, and we go into it. And don't we as youngsters, even youngsters, 20, 23, 30, 35, 40, we don't really manage this thing properly. You know, you meet somebody, you get on, you get a couple of brides, maybe whatever, and you have a couple of years together, or even some people 6 months. Some people 6 months, and you think, fantastic, this is it, and great, let's go for it. Or you have a situation where there's a shotgun, you get pregnant, whatever it is, and you have to get married and all of that stuff. And after you hear what we're going to talk about today, you're going to realize what an normal-ish what happens in reality, but what an idiot move that actually is. Okay. And what we should be doing is planning it and at least having the conversation. You know, everything we talk about communication, especially in relationships. And having been speaking on radio for 8-9 years now about relationships, One of the major things, the catalysts, is always communication, because everything breaks down when that breaks down. So I've got a few questions that you might want to ask your partner or might want to have a conversation with before you get married or before you go into a committed relationship. Okay, so that's a very important subject today, and I think people that are married already are going to say, oh my word, where was this conversation when I was about to get married? Because that would have helped a hell of a lot. Okay, so, all right. So one thing is, I just want to put a thing in here, is that you can't ask all these questions. I've got a whole lot of questions here that'll trigger. But you can't ask all of them at the same time, because it'll sound like a very long interview. Okay, you don't want to get involved in that.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe two questions, or you build it up slowly as you go, or whatever it is. And if anybody wants this thing I've written, please phone Janet or get hold of Janet at Zone Radio. And I will send it to Janet, and she can send it out to people who want it. Or please, you know, you've got the podcast tonight. You can listen to it, but give it to somebody you care about that's about to get into a marriage or into a committed relationship. Okay, so we're talking together. We're going to get married. We feel great about each other and whatever. And somewhere should come up a couple of these questions. So let's go through a couple of these questions, Rich. Why do you want to get married? This is quite an important question. I mean, the wedding day is one day, whereas marriage is for life, isn't it? So why? Why would you want to get married? Okay. Okay, love, how do you, not you, Richard, how do you handle disagreements? How do you handle disagreements? Some people blow and have a temper and whatever. And some people can do it calmly and quietly, but, you know, after 3 days, they're quiet for 3 days and then they can talk about it. So everybody's different. So we've got to try and find out. Are you influenced by your parents' marriage? That's quite an important question. What kind of wedding would you actually like? Now, some people would really like a lavish, big wedding. And normally it's when it's somebody's first wedding, they have this idea of the Cinderella thing, and it's got to be money, and it's got to be, you know, a lot of people. But when you get further down the line, it's, it's between lunch and dinner, go to court type thing and just make it happen. So how do you both want the thing? Because you've got to get together on this, okay? What do you think of each other's family? You might be already with children. You might have been a second marriage or whatever it is. How do you feel about a blended family? Do you actually like my kids? It's important to find out what you feel about that. And what is your custody arrangement? If the wife has got kids, maybe they've got a really crazy ex-husband. How does that work? You know, is it every weekend, or does he have them, or do you have them, or is he nuts, or does he park outside the house watching? You know, you need to ask these questions as well. Another question is, what will you do with your last name? Now, it's getting very modern for the wife to actually keep her existing name or a family name. So, or make it a double-barreled name. That's quite a... So you need to know these things, because you don't want to get hurt later down the line and saying, well, you know, I want to keep my name. And then if you're a conservative guy, you say, well, okay, why would that be? You know, is something wrong with my name? You might not feel comfortable with it. You need to know. How much alone time do you need? That's another beautiful question. Because some people love people around all the time. And some people absolutely need that alone time, that quiet time, that den or wherever it is or whatever. How is that going to impact you? Another question that's important is, what are your non-negotiables? What are your non-negotiables? I can't stand somebody who, I don't know, only baths once a week. It's a non-negotiable for me. Personal hygiene is a non-negotiable. Okay, so it might be that. Other questions. What do you want to happen when you die? Now, that might sound a bit morbid, but you need to know what your spouse or your future spouse needs in that. Maybe it's a funeral they want, or maybe it's a cremation or whatever. I know it sounds crazy, but these are the questions. You're going to live with somebody for the rest of your life. This is, you know, really. And listen, divorce, 50% of marriages fail because these things are not asked. And other reasons, of course, infidelity and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you get to know somebody down the line, and maybe you don't like it. So you need to know it up front. It's quite important. What's a deal breaker for you? Everyone has different deal breakers, you know. Be open to what yours are and listen to what theirs are. Decide together whether you can deal with those, and if they seem reasonable. Sometimes they might not seem reasonable. What constitutes cheating? Now, here's an important question, because some people will think that just talking to another person of the opposite sex is cheating. Because of previous experience or
whatever,
just what they feel like, okay? And you might feel, no, well, cheating is actually going away with somebody for a weekend and only getting home the next morning. That's actually cheating. Some people might feel social media is cheating. You know, you're talking to somebody on social media, that's cheating already. So find out between the two of you what you constitute as cheating. I think that's very clear in that conversation. You might find somebody will say to you, well, I don't like you talking to ex-girlfriends. And then you know, okay, that's a no-no, and you don't want to disrespect your partner, so that's out. That's it. Who's the most important person in the world to you? And most people will say, if they have their kids, my kids are. That's the most important person, okay? It might be their parents. It might be someone else. Everybody has their own standard of that as well. Important one here is what's your love language, okay? So there are four main love languages. We have spoken about it before, but they're gifts, touch, actions, and words. You really need to find out what constitutes a love language, and that's how you love somebody, or that's how they feel more loved by you if you do that. And if you don't know, you might just go off on a tangent and say, well, I'll give you presents and gifts and cars and holidays overseas and all kinds of things, and the partner would just like a hug or a conversation or just something, you know, a touch or whatever it is. So that's very important. When do you feel most loved by me? When I give you gifts, or when I show you that I love you, or when I tell you, or when I hug you just out of the blue, you need to know that. We need to know that. How do you deal with change or unexpected things that happen in your life? Is that important? How do you deal with stress and anxiety? Do you cause them, you know, do people withdraw, or do you get angry and take it out in other ways? That's important. What do you find difficult to talk about? Now, this alone is difficult to talk about, and we're going to get into more depth here now. But what do you find difficult to talk about? I find difficult to talk about my dad, or my mom, or my ex-wife, or my exes, or my grandparents, or because it hurts me, or my children. I find it difficult to talk about if they're estranged. So what goes on social media? How do you feel about social media? Do you feel it a threat, or do you feel it's something important, or do you think it's not a problem at all? You need to look at that as well. What happens if you feel like you're drifting apart? How do you think that can be fixed? What do you think the reasons would be for that? Stress or illness or changes in priorities, etc. And it's natural to feel these things, but how do they recognize the importance of getting their intimacy back once it's going? How would they organize that? How would they do that? What is it makes you feel safe? Very important question. A woman especially needs to feel safe. That's one thing in the relationship that they need more than anything else. Listen to me and make me feel safe. Those are the two things, and if you can work around any of those, but those two things are very important to them. So does money make them feel safe, or does distance, if you're close to me, I feel safer, or if you loneliness could be, I'm not feeling safe because I feel lonely. Those are important questions. Where and when do you like to have conversations or discussions? Now, some people can have a discussion any time of the day and night. And some people, when it gets to 9 or 10 o'clock at night, they just want to chill. Mainly men will not want to have a serious conversation after 8 or 9 o'clock at night, I would imagine. They're tired or whatever it is. They just want to fire gaze, watch TV, just chill, get the day off and whatever it is. So it might be from 7 o'clock onwards even. Not even 8 o'clock. Whereas somebody who's been at home or can talk about these things late at night because they feel they can, might have a difficult conversation with you. So you need to know what your partner would be agreeable to or not agreeable to, and the setting that you have your conversations. Is it in the bedroom, just before you go to sleep, or is it maybe outside at a restaurant where you need to have difficult conversations or interesting conversations? Where would it be? Find out what suits your partner. Do you have any secrets? That's kind of thing. Don't you think they're secrets? Do you think that some things are just personal and shouldn't be spoken about? Or are you hiding anything that you need to talk to me about? You know, is there anything? Finances is a big thing. Now, Paul Volcker will tell you more about finances in a marriage. But what are your finances like? Do you know that your partner is in debt or not in debt or has millions or a trust fund baby or whatever? And how do they relate to credit and how do they handle money? Also, how do you split your finances? Some people would like a separate account. Some people have a joint account. Some people have both. How do you feel about it? You know, and you need to find out from the partner how they feel about their views on saving, on spending. If you can't afford something, do you just go ahead and do it? And, you know, you need to be very, very careful here when getting involved in a marriage, because you take on somebody's problems when you get into a marriage. And whether you married out of community property with a crule or not, you take on somebody's stress, let alone their debt. You take on their stress when it comes to that as well. How do you feel about borrowing? So the discussion needs to be had on money, on wills. Do you have a will? You know, do you prefer to spend money or save money? Some questions to ask on the intimacy side. How do you feel about intimacy? How will you handle different intimacy drives? So somebody has a huge sex drive or somebody doesn't. How do you handle that together as a couple? Lifestyle questions. Do you want kids? Some people don't want kids. They really don't. And how would you raise your kids if you had children? And it's good to go back to the past and see how they were raised, because you'll have an idea there. It's a big question. You know, do they believe in being strict? And you might not believe in that strictness or you know, and a more relaxed view. What about schooling? I'd rather them be in a sort of an arty school. Or no, I want them in an academic school. Or I want them in a private school. No, I want them in a technical school. You never know. It's a good idea to talk about how you feel about it and what happened in your childhood as well, because it will affect how you parent. What about having kids? If having kids isn't straightforward, so we can't have kids. Now we've got to go and do fertility. Now that's money. Would you be willing to do that? Or would you say, no, that's me. I'm not meant to be. I'm out of here. I'm not pushing God's envelope here. I'm not doing. What do you want to do? What does religion mean to you? Good to have a conversation about religion. You know, the Christians believe that if you get unequally yoked in a marriage, you will not survive that marriage. So, yeah. So how do you feel about it? My dad was Jewish and my mother was a Christian, but they weren't really practicing because they met and that was it. You know, they didn't really pray and they were fine. Now, where do you want to live? What does your dream house look like? You might think a Victorian cottage with wooden floors is absolutely my dream house. And the partner might think that this glassy sort of white with windows and shiny floors is the way to go. So you need to know. How would you split chores in the home? You know, would you do the dishes if you took out the bin? And how do you expect, or do you expect the wife to do everything because that's the role that you think and that you were made up, that you are the king of the house as a man and the wife must be in the kitchen? I think the girls need to know that before they go into a marriage. What do celebrations look like for you? Christmas and birthdays. Is birthday important? Because you might have a partner that the birthday is a massive day and they want a whole week of birthday celebrations with gifts and presents and going out for dinner. And you might be that person that says, it's my birthday. I'll just pop down, have a burger and, you know, have a drink. And it's fine. It's not a problem. So you need to know. Otherwise, you can upset some people. What your dream holiday looks like. You need to know that. How important is your career? How do you feel about pets? Do you want dogs or don't you want the hair on the couch? Is that important to you? You need to find the stuff out before you get into a marriage, guys. What does retirement look like to you? And then there are some questions you need to ask your partner before you commit. We're already communicating brilliantly. How can we improve on that? We need to come up with a mission statement about our relationship. What would you say if we did that? When we feel like we're changing in a different direction or drifting apart, what are some of the things we think we could do to get closer? How can I make you feel more relaxed or support you? How can I make your day better? So It's always a good question to ask in the morning. When you're feeling super stressed, what do you need from me? Are you willing to work on our marriage as life throws challenges at us? What kind of work would what would that work look like to you? What would you do to fix this or to make this happen? And then there are some questions you need to ask about conflict. Would you be willing to go to a marriage counselor if we were in trouble? If there's a disagreement between your family and me, whose side would you choose? How would you handle disagreements in general? Would you ever consider divorce? Would you rather discuss issues as they arise or wait until you've got a whole lot in your bag? And then hit me with all of them, okay? How would you communicate generally on intimacy? What is the best way to handle disagreements in marriage? If we're both feeling angry, how do we handle that? And if you know that, you've got a plan, you can do it. How can I better communicate with you? What is it that you feel more comfortable with? And then you can talk about morals and politics and religion and family values and belief, religious views on marriage, what's more important, work or family? What are your political views? Birth control, that's something you need to talk about. Would you rather be rich and miserable or poor and happy? Another question there, you talk, and you can learn a lot about someone when they tell you that. Who will make the biggest decisions of the household, or will we do that together? Okay. Are there situations where you would follow the advice of your family before me? What do you believe the role of the wife is, or the spouse, or the husband? Do you believe people can make poor decisions and still be good people? And why is that? And then there can be some light, fun questions to have, like, do you enjoy traveling? Do you like to travel? Where would you like to go? How important is it spending time alone? Here's one that could either trigger you or just be a fun question. Would you allow me to go on a trip with my mates for a couple of days or a weekend? You know, you might find that your partner has been hurt before on these kind of things and it's a trigger. Or they say, yeah, no problem. You go ahead and do your own thing and fine. I like being a week alone. My mom always used to go away for a week. She was a beautician at Garlicks back in the day, and she used to go away for a week on her own to Claremont and sit and read a book next to a pool all on her own. And my dad took me away to Franschhoek for a week, and we were together for a week. They had separate kind of holidays, and it was good for them. What would the perfect weekday evening be for you? That's a nice question, because then you can set that up once in a while. What would you do if we both had a break from work, but each of us had different ideas on how to spend it? You don't have to be together all the time. And then talk about extended family. You know, how often would your family visit? How often would your mom come over? How often would the family be here for braais? You know, important questions. These are things we forget about. Does your family have a history of disease or genetic, anything genetic that I need to know about? How would we handle holiday family visits? If your folks became ill, would you have to take them in? Does anyone in your family struggle with alcoholism or substance abuse? What is your family medical history? What do you think is the best way to keep the love alive in our marriage? Okay, and what do you think, do you think life will change if we got married? What's the worst thing about marriage, do you think? What's the best thing? How important are wedding anniversaries to you? Okay, so you know to know that. If it's important, do not forget. How do you like to spend special days? What kind of grandparent would you like to be? What type of house, we spoke about. What is your biggest fear about us getting together and getting married? What is your biggest fear? And what does wedding ring mean to you? Does it mean you need to have the biggest ring possible, the most expensive, or just something nice that, just shows that shows that we're married together? Are you afraid to talk to me about anything? And then finally, what do you think would improve our relationship? Do you have any doubts about the future of us together? And do you believe love can pull you through anything, or do you think love needs more than that? And is there anything you don't trust about me? That's quite a heavy question. So These are all beautiful questions and wonderful conversations that we don't have. We don't have this. We know maybe one or two things we pick up, but in its entirety, this is very important before you go and commit to this life together. No wonder this 50% of marriages fall over, because people find this out as they go. And you don't need to. You can find this out before, Rich, you know.
One thing that we went over quite quickly was the aspect of health. I think that there should be that conversation dealing with the shock of health issues. And that is something that Jan has just highlighted on the WhatsApp. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to sit down there and anticipate all the things that can go wrong. But I think it's something that needs to be discussed. As well.
Yeah, it's a financial implication
on that. There's an emotional, financial, there's sometimes practical, because, what happens? Who helps out? Who do you turn to?
Yeah.
Are we turning to the same people? Are we in agreement as to who we turn to when we're in trouble? I think this is great. I think this is great. I think these are questions that... maybe it doesn't require, I think you look at this list, and it doesn't require a conscious conversation, a lot of them. A lot of these things are things that you're going to feel out over time in a courtship. And that is, this list is probably the reason one shouldn't be rushing into marriage. Now, I'm not saying that rushing into marriage doesn't work. There are many people who have had a circumstance where they've had to get married and their marriages have been more successful than people who have been, had 5-year courtships.
Oh, absolutely. They were meant for each other. Yeah.
But that, I think, is a function possibly more of luck, for want of a better term. But this checklist that you brought along here today is something that one should have in the back of their mind. And a lot of these questions don't necessarily need a sit-down conversation. I think there are.
I agree.
There are many of those questions that need it, particularly the ones on the financial front are sit-down conversations.
As long as you know what to ask or what to look
or
for.
Or to observe, Or to observe.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're in a courtship, you're going to come across this list and you're going to say, okay, or you're going to have this list in the back of your mind possibly. When you get to sort of 60% not gelling, you're naturally going to move away from that relationship, I think. If you're down there sort of, in the 10 or 20, I can live with that. But at least you know what it is that you're looking for. I think the problem with us is that we don't know what we don't know.
Correct.
And we run into a relationship blindly. And as they say, love is blind, and in most cases it is. And that's got nothing to do with with the ascetics. It's got to do with the mind, where you become blind. Rush into this thing and you can take on the world, and all of a sudden you realize that you don't agree on a lot of very important things.
And that's also okay.
Yeah.
If you can handle it.
But those are the things then that you need to discuss.
Correct.
Some of them you're going to just look at and you say, I can't deal with this. I'm not even ready to discuss it. And you're going to walk away. And I think that's also a natural thing.
Yeah.
But, I think that this is something people should have a look at, read through. A thing like a will.
Yeah.
It's very important.
It is.
Who is going to benefit from that will? And how often do we revise that? And are those things that you can sit down and have a conversation about?
Yeah. But choose the time that suits your partner again as well.
Yeah.
Don't do that at 12 o'clock at night and say, am I in your will? Or what do you think about a will? Or have you got your will? Because I don't know where it is. Or not, timing. Once again, you need to know your partner and that it becomes a natural thing that you would do. It's a loving thing to do, to talk about maybe your insurance or your will or your finances or whatever it is. You need to get to know your partner. And I think what happens sometimes, we get so mixed up in life and reality of life as we do, we don't really sit back and work on this. Mm. Maybe I'm just looking at myself. When I was younger and I got married, I didn't really think about this stuff. I didn't know about it. I didn't know these things were here. Now you're looking back now, you learn a lot and you realize how much you don't know.
Mm.
And what I wanted to do today was for us to just have that conversation to say, there is this little checklist out there.
Mm.
Don't ignore it. Mm. You know, these are important issues. And it's a love gift. It's a gift to your partner to be able to have a chat and say, listen, how can I make your life better?
Personally, what I would do with this.
I know what you would do with it.
No. What I would do with this list, or advise anybody to do with this list, is put it down in front of their partner, prospective partner.
Yeah.
And you go through your list, and they go through theirs. Yep. And they tick off what are the things they feel need discussing.
Yeah.
The rest you forget about. Where do you want to live? This is something that's going to, you're going to get there. This is not something I don't believe you need to be discussing in too much detail ahead of your wedding day. Because you are going to drift in a direction. So life's going to take you in certain direction. And at some point, you will have to agree on where you're going to live. But, you know, I don't know whether that is as critical, but it might be.
It might be. I was thinking now.
And that is why, for me, I would look at that list and I would say, I really don't need to discuss that. But somebody else, Judy might, for argument's sake, say, well, this is a very important question. I need to discuss this. So I think that this list is something that people should have.
Yep.
Each party should have it on their own. They should go their separate ways, read this thing, work out what's important to them, and then make a list of, I want to discuss these things, and I want to discuss these things, and ditch the rest.
No, absolutely, and work your life, and don't work around it. But just be aware that there are questions you might have forgotten about, and you don't want to get caught on a big question, and it can be a little question for somebody and a huge question for another
else.
Person.
That's why I say,
you were saying about overseas. I mean, maybe you've got kids living in America and you are adamant that within 4 years you're going to be living in the States.
Mm.
And your partner is here, the family is here, everybody's here, they own a farm here, whatever it is, and there's no way they're going there. Then it becomes an important question.
Very.
Okay.
Very.
I would have loved to have this conversation before I got married the first time. And I think even going into a committed relationship, some of these questions are really, really important, even later down the line as well. So I just hope it helped a few people. And, you know, if you want to give it the podcast to somebody to listen to, maybe it triggers them. Maybe it saves a marriage. Maybe it saves somebody being
embarrassed.
Making a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Jeff. It was wonderful chatting to you again, and I look forward to the next time. I don't know how many sleeps that is.
It's a lot. It's about 14.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But this is some good stuff, really good stuff. Thank you very, very much for that. There will be a podcast, folks, and if you want to email, you'll email this to Janet.
I'll email Janet, and then I can get it.
Okay, you can email Janet at univox.co.za. Just ask her for a copy, and she can attach and send, and then you can have this list as Jeff has put together here this afternoon. All right, thank you very much. Go home now.
Thank you, bye.